everyone. I'm probably like the only speaker you see running into the stage because I was really late from another meeting. So first of all, my name is Elisha, and I'm the founder of Tech Ladies in Singapore. So how many of you are not based in Singapore? Awesome. So a warm welcome to Singapore. I hope you eat a lot, try out some fancy food. And since we speak Singlish here, I'm going to make some edits to the title of my talk. So I hope you have been introduced to Singlish, more importantly, the word la. Just a little tech tip, if you do speak Singlish, just add la to the end of most of your sentences and it works, la. So first of all, I am not an engineer of any kind, and I actually have a full-time job apart from Tech Ladies. So Tech Ladies is my passion project. And during the day, I'm the developer program's regional lead for Asia Pacific. Oh, and I actually did psychology back in university. So at Facebook, what I do is this program called Developer Circles, where we try to build a global network of local developer communities so that developers can receive educational content created by Facebook and also meet one another. So that's the stuff I'm doing for my boss. And what's more interesting and what you're here to learn, hear more about is really about Tech Ladies. So this is a community-led initiative for women in Asia to connect, learn, and advance as programmers. And since our launch in 2016, we have taught close to 200 women in Singapore and Malaysia basic programming skills and saw 7 ladies getting internship or junior developer roles. I'm super proud of that. So today I'm going to share with you more about inspiration of setting Tech Ladies, like some of the programs we do and lessons learned along the way. Oh, I also have some stickers to give away, so do come and talk to me to get a sticker. So as I already mentioned, you know, my background is in psychology. So my journey of getting into tech started when I was fresh grad in 2011, and I wanted to do my now dead startup. And I couldn't find a tech co-founder. That's when I learned how to code. And it really helped me to be exposed to the developer community. What is this open source thing about? And how does the community work? And I really felt that writing codes is so amazing. It's like a superpower where you can create something that's useful for you and also useful for your friends. I think it's amazing. And even though initially I felt awkward because I don't dress like developers, and when they crack technical jokes, I don't understand. I still don't really understand, but I kind of can get it a little bit now. And what's more important is that, you know, the community is so open. Like, everything is open source. The best tools are available online for free. There's so many tutorials out there to really teach you how to do stuff. And the people, developers, are such a welcoming community. Like, even I can always ask them for help, and they're always willing to explain to me whenever I need. But when I look around, that is the question that I ask, right? Like, why aren't there more women here? Like, is this not interesting to women, or are there some other issues that's stopping women to get involved and experience the love of technology that I had? But this is also a problem that I was not invested enough to understand why until my friend bribed me with a conference ticket to help him with organizing a real skills session back in 2014. So how many of you, have you heard of real skills? Yeah, okay. Yeah, so real skills was born in Finland, and now they are a global network of communities. They created a workshop curriculum on Ruby on Rails. And everything is available online. You can just take the curriculum and organize your own workshop. So this is a photo of one of the sessions there, and it's amazing. So I don't know if I have a link. So the lady in white all the way on the left, eventually she's now a software engineer now. I'll share more about it later. And one of the lady in blue, now she's actually my teammate in Facebook, small, right? And it was through this experience of working on real skills that I discovered that there is a joy in teaching people how to code. Like, it's that magic moment when they just type in some stuff on this terminal that have no idea what it does, and things just work, and it's amazing to see the light in their eyes when they realize that they could code too. But I thought that the curriculum, even though it's good, it was not enough to really help a woman enter the industry. And I do think that there are women, and I think that this is what is needed for people to really come into the industry. So, while after I was let go of my previous job before Facebook, I had a lot of time sitting on my ass doing nothing. So I thought, you know, why not let's just do something, follow my passion. And that is how Tech Ladies was created, actually. So we are a community-led initiative. That means that we're not a registered school, we're not a company, and we're all volunteers who believe in the same cause. And this is what we believe in. We believe that technology is a superpower to do good. It's not just useful for yourself, but it's also for someone else. And technology is for everyone. Technology is accessible. While it sucks that they are sexism in this industry, whether it's in Singapore or somewhere else. But this is why Tech Ladies exist, to be a bridge, to bring more women into the industry. Having said that, we are woman-focused, doesn't mean that we're anti-men. I think there might be some groups that become a bit overzealous in pushing men away. But, you know, we believe that male allies are super important and they too have something to contribute. So I'm going to take the next few minutes to talk about what we do and also the programs that we have at Tech Ladies. So we do three things. The buckets of things that we do could be these three. So eventually, we want to reach people who are new to programming all the way to existing programmers. So first of all, we want to let women find one another and also allow them to share their experiences. Second of all, we want to educate women through online and offline means. And lastly, we want to kickstart women's career in the tech industry and also highlight them more in our community. So one of the things about the good thing about doing a passion project is that you can add whatever you want. There's no brand guidelines, so I really like cats, so there's a lot of cats in my slides. So again, we do three things. To help you remember, just remember CEO. It just happened that way. So I'm going to go into more details on what each of these programs is about, what are the things that I've learned. So feel free to steal and copy whatever you see to bring it back to your workplace or community. Feel free to go for it. So the programs under the community pillar is open to any woman who is interested in the tech industry or already in the tech industry. This is by far the most basic basic in terms of the level of technical skills that we have. So Tech Ladies Go is basically, you know, for a woman who wants to attend a tech meetup, but they don't know anybody there, so they want like a little buddy. So that's how this is a program where we gather women to go to tech meetups together. Fairly basic, but it's also fairly useful. So Tech Ladies Eat is basically our own version of a networking event. So where we meet other like-minded people over a meal. So the next few slides, I'm going to talk about the programs under the education and opportunity pillar. I'll start from all the way from the bootcamp because that's more exciting. So here we go. So the Tech Ladies Bootcamp is a part-time accelerated learning program designed to help women with some basic programming backgrounds to become professional programmers. So during this bootcamp, participants are guided by industry experts, senior engineers, and they learn by creating products for nonprofits. So this is the picture of my first bootcamp graduate in 2016. And since we started again last year in January, we have had two batches of bootcamp, and 23 women have graduated from the program. So this is where the seven women came from. I think it was four of them are now junior engineers. So these women, they are from a wide variety of industry. They are air stewardess, gymnastic teacher. I'm no point from guessing who is a gymnastic teacher here. Customer service reps, photographer, and a bunch of non-tech roles before the bootcamp. So this is how the bootcamp works. So step one, look for NGOs, non-profits who have a need, a problem they face that they want to solve with technology. And step two, usually I do this because it's more about talking to them, trying to figure out what they are, what they need, and what kind of problem that they face. And if they're a good fit for the program, because they have to understand that this is a part-time program built off the back of beginners, so it can't be too technically ambitious. But if they do fit the program, I'll pass it over to the head coach, whom will then decide the NGO they want to work with. So the head coaches, they volunteer at least 100 hours of their time. So that's about 10 hours a week. So it's a very big commitment. So I do want them to find a course that they are passionate with. And thereafter, we'll move on to a design studio where there'll be a volunteer UI and UX designers to sit down with the head coach, the NGO, and a few of the NGO representatives to figure out what exactly will be built and how it will look like. So thereafter, we will select the bootcamp participants. So the thing is that being a not-for-profit initiative is that we get to be very fussy about who we want to work with and who we want to help. So they help women who really have some skin in the game and want to become engineers. We make them do a submission application. So they have to create a very simple app before they could join the bootcamp to learn how to build apps. So it might sound a bit ridiculous, but trust me, it works. So based on the application and also the motivation, that's how we choose the participants. So during the bootcamp, we will meet every Saturday to go through, to meet in person, to understand new concepts, and also to do code reviews. But they are expected to learn how to code during the week itself. So through the boot camps, we have helped 8 nonprofits organizations to solve their pain points with technology. And some of the work they have created include a film submission app, an adoption app, a classroom management app, and a donor management app. So these are basically apps that replaces emails, paper, or Excel. And it's not very high tech, but it's good enough for women to get experience in programming and creating apps. But what's more important is that this is not just a teaching thing. How I see it is more of a much more holistic way of getting women into the industry by introducing them to the tech community, like who are the organizers of meetups or conferences, who are the influencers in the community, marketing them through articles, like the one you see on the left, that is our blog. That's also what my niche is more on marketing as opposed to creating apps. And also to push them to do talks. So I want to share stories of two ladies in particular. So first I'll talk about Clara. So Clara first found her love for web development when she was a teen, and she built websites on GeoCities. But the thing is that she did really badly for her pre-university exams, we call the A-levels. So her options in university were really, really limited, and she ended up doing project and facilities management, something that she has no passion about. And because of that, she ended up in the industry that she has no passion about. So after working a year in that industry, she decided that she wanted to pursue her interest in fashion. And that's how she started her own fashion business for 4 years before she decided that, you know, this isn't the right fit for her either. So she wanted to rekindle her passion in technology. So Clara is the one whom I've actually met in 2014 back in Real Skills, and I didn't know her then. And it was quite amazing because she has been trying to pick up Rails, but without a structured program and without a clear objective in mind, she couldn't just make the leap into it. Well, in the Tech Ladies Bootcamp, she was actually given extra programming exercises by her head coach, who eventually gave her an internship at his company. So again, you can see that community is such a strong, support to really bring more women into the industry. So after 6 months of internship, she's now a junior software engineer at her company. So super, super amazing story. The next lady I want to highlight, her name is Xing Tian. She was actually enrolled in a chemical engineering master's program to pursue her passion in chemistry. Then she realized that the program was not what she expected, and because of that, her results weren't that great, and she was kicked out of the program. So she felt really lost, but she ended up in a career with customer service officer, which during this period of time, that's when her close friend introduced her to programming and all the amazing things that one could do with programming skills. And again, she, without a clear objective in mind on why what can you create with your technology skills, she didn't have like a clear way to apply all these theories that she learned, and she eventually forgot a lot of things. So that's how she joined this bootcamp. And I remember during the bootcamp, she sometimes stay up all the way to 1 a.m. because it's a part-time program. So after her job, she would stay up really late just to continue programming. Because like she was not a Singaporean, she could not qualify for an internship here. So she did struggle a while she continued learning, and eventually she was employed as a junior developer before realizing that she preferred to be a freelancer. So this is her speaking at Red Dot Ruby Conference. That's a Singapore Ruby conference. She did a lightning talk, and in the audience was the creator of the Ruby programming language. I'm super proud of her. Just amazing. So there's a few lessons learned along the way during the bootcamp. First of all, shockingly, I didn't expect it to work. So like I said, this was a in-between jobs kind of passion project. And it's pretty ambitious in a way that the head coach put in 100 hours of their time for free. And in return, they get to see women coming into the industry. NGOs, they let us do work on their projects, and in return they get a project, or they get an app done. And for participants, while they do pay a nominal sum of money to get into the bootcamp so that we can cover all the costs incurred, they actually put in the work to create an app, and in return they get a career and also, of course, the technical knowledge. So I didn't expect it to work. It was more like, oh, okay, let's just try it out, and holy shit, it worked. Like, holy shit, people want more of it, so we're doing it. Like, well, this year, we are on our third batch. So what I learned is that giving a structure of how different people come together, giving them an objective to work, and surrounding them with a community, that is what I think that really, why this bootcamp idea succeeded. Yeah, which is also relates to the second point, that people learn better when there's an angle in mind. Beginners, they are very visual creatures. They like to see stuff appearing on their screen, and they like to have like a full product that they can look at the end of the day. That's what I learned, that how beginners learn best. The second big point is that NGOs are really not technical. It's really hard to find them because they're so far away from the tech community. So finding them and also talking to them requires a lot of patience because they are really not technical. So you have to understand what they're trying, what exactly is the problem, and what exactly do they want. And again, like the coaches put in 100 hours. That is a very, very big commitment. And I am very grateful and thankful and also surprised that there are actually people willing to do it. And through this journey of doing Tech Ladies, what I learned is that a lot of people are willing to help. They just don't know what they can do. So giving them a structure, giving them a direction can really pull different people together. And of course, the last point, one of the big lessons I learned is that marketing is also important. Programming itself is a very useful skill, but in order to help more women in the industry, you don't just need that skill. You also need all the whatever you can get, right? Like, there are some people who are good sponsors, there are some people who are good marketers. We need like entire different skill sets to really help more women into the industry. So the next program under the opportunity pillar is Tech Talks. So this is actually created by one of a bootcamp graduate. And she wanted a place where she can share her knowledge and for other people to learn from her. So she created this program where there is a series of technical talks for women of all kinds of levels to learn about a technical framework from ladies who are learning the skill. So this is a little bit different from other tech meetups, because in my personal experience is that to be a tech meetup speaker, you have to know what you are talking about, and so this really helped with framing the expectations in a way that the speakers are also beginners themselves. Okay, so education. I'm gonna fly through it a little bit more quickly. So this is the coding weekend. Basically, it is a coding weekend. So it started by another bootcamp graduate who realized that people in the hometown don't get experiences of learning how to code. So that's how we decided that we're just gonna go to Malaysia and do a workshop. So the curriculum is open source. What I learned is that finding a local partner is super important because we are based in Singapore. We don't have the venue sponsor network that we have when we go overseas. So finding someone who knows the people who could sponsor venues or even know where and how to market, very important. And the last program that we run is the tech lead study. This is very easy to run. Basically, just tell a woman that, okay, this is the course we're gonna follow. We're gonna go to this cafe, everybody sit down, code. And then there will be one or two mentors who are software engineers who can answer questions. A very self-reliant group. And one thing I learned is that perseverance is super important because people come and go. Sometimes it's very, very disheartening when I don't see the same faces. But what I realized is that when you persevere through, the old faces will come back and new faces will join in. So persevere when you don't see your initial efforts being rewarded. Okay, so in general, what are the lessons I've learned is that starting a passion project has a lot of benefits. I didn't start a side project for its benefits, but this is what I learned along the way. So first of all, it's extremely rewarding when you see the results of your work change a woman's life, getting them in the industry, getting them jobs that they want, super amazing. And you don't have to worry about money, right? Because you have a job. But what I realized is that it really helps with your career. I got into this role because what my current manager saw what I've been doing in Tech Ladies, and this is the same skill set I've been using. I didn't expect it to happen, but that is something that I realized it worked. One of the most important things is really I could gain skills that I don't need my manager's approval. If you want to lead a team at your workplace, you have to ask your boss and get like a shit ton of like approval before you can run with it. But in a side project, who cares? If there's someone who wants to follow you, you lead a team. If you want to try new ideas, go ahead. You don't need budget approval as long as you can get money somewhere else. And of course, it's a great way to meet people who are similarly passionate. They don't have to be here, but they want to be here. And when you work with people like that, it's a very good experience. But of course, it also has a lot of costs in terms of time. So do take note, be clear on what you're giving up when you want to do a side project. But doing this Tech Ladies, what I learned is that anyone can contribute even if you can't coach. I started Tech Ladies because in my journey of being a learning how to code, a lot of people have helped me out, and I felt that, you know, for a community that have given me so much, how can I give back? I could either spend like 5 years to be an engineer and start contributing to open source, or I could just do what I do best, right? Which is organize everything. So in your own community, in your own workplace, if you're not confident in your tech skills, perhaps this is the way that you can give back, like organize a small meetup, help out with, or you can even help out at other events, like help out in some of the meetups that you have. Could you open up your office to host them? Could you nominate speakers for them? Because like these are the things that we need, right? We need food and we need venue for every meetup that, or even MC is something that's very simple if it's not very technical. Or you could teach someone, right? If you know someone, if you found these cool things or this cool technique of doing some stuff, why don't you teach other people? And you actually don't need to know a lot to start teaching, because this is the workshop we run for Tech Ladies, and what I realized is that a lot of their problems are actually not problems. Most of the time it's just typo, or they're missing a semicolon somewhere, or they're in the wrong folder. So these are stuff that you don't need to be technical to be able to teach someone. So you don't have to be, you know, very put off by your own technical skills, and I think that everybody has something to contribute, even if you cannot code. So if like none of this thing floats your boat, you could also share someone else's knowledge. Maybe you could just make a note on what other people are talking about in meetups. One of my friends, Michael, he created engineers.sg, where he and his team would attend almost all the tech meetups in Singapore to film them down and upload it there, so that people who missed it can also watch it again. It's super intensive, it's super value-add, and I think that's an amazing experience to give back to the community. And the last thing, you know, every little thing counts. You can contribute to tech community simply by picking up trash or like packing chairs up after a meetup, or invite a woman to speak or attend a meetup, or just highlight their accomplishment when they put themselves down in public, which I noticed that female speakers tend to do that more often than male. So contributing to the tech community goes beyond just writing codes, documentation or fixing bug photos. Those are super important. But it's also about creating ways for community to get together and share knowledge and enabling each other to teach one another and make a, or just bare basic by making the community a friendlier place for everyone. So I've flown through all of my presentation. Hope you're still doing good on time. And I hope this gives you an idea of how you can contribute right now. Think about what is needed in your community or at your workplace and start thinking about easy ideas to really give back. And this is the end of my talk. Thank you all for listening, and thank you for your contribution to the tech community.